So, retrospectors, what historical events are we ticking off on this week's run of Today in History?
Well, Tuesday is the anniversary of the first Tarzan movie to hit the silver screen.
Then on Wednesday, we tell the story of how Gottlieb Daimler inadvertently invented the motorbike.
On Thursday, we explain how MSG got demonized in the 1960s.
And on Friday, we revisit a legendary battle on a frozen Russian lake.
We discuss this and more on Today in History with the retrospectors. 10 minutes each weekday, wherever you get your podcasts.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-.
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello and welcome to another bonus edition of the Media Podcast. This week marks the end of the long-running Radio 4 series Face the Facts, the consumer investigations show, which has been on the air since the mid-80s and was presented by John Waite. And he just happened to be talking about his craft at an event in London last Wednesday. Here's John, speaking on the subject, what they didn't teach you at presenting school.
I am the dinosaur, as you can see. I mean, I can't imagine anyone will have a career like mine again. I joined the BBC in 1973 and I'm still there. And that will never happen again, and perhaps it never should. I have done, over the years, over those 40 years, a few hundred interviews where I've been interviewed. And it's really interesting, as a professional, when the boot is on the other foot. And I can assure you, I've been on programmes where if I weren't a professional broadcaster, I would have been tongue-tied, I'd have been stuck. I would have felt so out of it or not included that I'd have shut up. And that's how I think some people feel when they. So don't let your interviewees feel that. Even when, for a short period, I presented the Today programme, I would get up out of my seat, I would go over to the interviewee, I would shake their hand, look them in the eye, I would actually anchor them into the program, show them that they were welcome. And I think my one piece of advice is work on those skills, because it'll bring dividends for you as a presenter. Work on the skills of the other half of your act.
Would you, John, apply that to politicians or people who were slick media professionals as well?
Yeah, you're absolutely right, of course, Peter. There are certain people, there's no point, you know. there is no point. No, some people are fair game. I mean, I do interviews with, and we'll hear one in a minute, with villains. You know, it's not the Today programme. Most interviewees are ordinary people. Even today, most interviewees haven't been interviewed. They're nervous, they want reassurance, but most of all, they want to know that you are truly interested. And if you can fake that... No, I didn't mean that. I actually am still truly interested. I'm lucky I get to do long interviews with people who have interesting stories, and they are fascinating. We'd all find them so. But you must, whatever, even if the person's coming in for 2 or 3 minutes, you know, truly, because it will communicate, and they will respond.
Do you want to set up this first clip for us?
Yes, the first clip, I think, is the most... I've done thousands of these investigative programmes. It's very difficult to know, you know, what to... This was one that was difficult because we had, talking of interviewees, we had a couple of women who had lost babies in this business in Northern Ireland of the mother and baby units. And they were exposed in the South, a Catholic country, where women who had children out of wedlock were thought to be sinful. What we did last year was show that the same prejudice was alive and well in Northern Ireland, a Protestant country where you might have hoped there'd be more understanding, so that when women went into these homes, their babies not only were often taken away and sold, but if they were allowed to die. They were the spawn of the devil, so they were allowed to die. So we had child mortality rates of 45-50%. I mean, it just doesn't happen. No place in the world, not even, you know, Zambia or wherever, has 50% mortality rates. These children were allowed to die. So these were very sensitive women. So I think this is a little clip about the programme generally, and you'll hear me trying to be gentle with them about this most sensitive of subjects.
The film Philomena, nominated for a string of awards, tells the true story of a young Irish woman whose son was forcibly taken away from her in a Catholic-run mother and baby home in the Republic. Today we investigate the mothers enduring an identical ordeal to that of Philomena, but this time in Northern Ireland.
The nuns drummed into me every day that I was a sinner. I was hoping that somebody was going to help me when I had my baby. Just take him home. But nobody did. They deprived me of being a mother.
As well as losing children to forced adoption, other mothers saw their babies die, as mother and baby homes had disturbingly high infant mortality rates, as we'll be hearing, up to 45%. One mother speaks for the first time of her distressing drive across Belfast with her friend, the body of whose baby was in the boot, the destination an unmarked grave.
All over this slope now have sprung up all these unofficial memorials, crosses and angels. But what marked the grave of your friend's child all those years ago?
Nothing, absolutely nothing.
So we have no marker at all of that event. And as an event, was it dignified?
No, I don't think so. God love her.
What about those mass graves in the bog meadows? Was that an appropriate way to treat the bodies of all those babies?
This is not something unique to the Catholic Church. All of those who have been buried within that section of the cemetery are recorded in the records. They were buried with due rites. They were buried with the appropriate, at that time, sort of care and attention.
John, it's incredible how you manage to keep the listener and the person giving their personal testimony together.
Yeah.
As part of the same story there. And I just wondered, that's quite a conjuring trick to have a split mind, as it were.
Well, I don't know about a split mind. I try to approach the interviewees as a listener, in other words, as a genuine human being. And I will say, and in that case, it was the case once again, one of those women, not the woman you heard, but and I do long interviews. We don't do 5 minutes, you know. And so you get into you get deeper and deeper. And I cried. And I often cry at interviews. I do the kind of interviews I defy you not to cry. I think at home, people will be crying. And it actually makes such a difference to these people who are, you know, sharing. That those two women had never spoken about that before and said to me, we will never speak of it again. It's too painful. So I knew all the stuff that they were going through. And I think, and I was genuine about this, Peter, you know, I can't turn them on. But if you can keep in touch with your humanity, even though we're professionals, then the result will be even better, professionally speaking. But, you will have remained a human being through an artificial process.
And can you maintain that sort of solicitude or that kind of desire to kind of connect and be simpatico with a subject that maybe isn't as emotive? Do you know what I mean? What stops you then kind of going, God, it's some tedious bloke from Co-op Energy that I'm having to confront?
Well, as I say, if we have villains or if we have people that we're not very sympathetic towards, or we don't think the audience will be, well, you know, we just, I'm much more straight. We're going to play the next clip, just because one of my stock in trades is villains occasionally. We don't do villains as much as we used to do. Villains are always entertaining, the audience loves them, they particularly like it when I get beaten up, or whoever gets beaten up. And I used to get beaten up, you know, and that we'll hear a little clip in a minute. And this guy really roughed me up and gave me concussion and ripped all my clothes. And all that. The audience loved it. But we don't do many villains these days because they're not villain. They're not colourful enough. You know, because villains these days, they're electronic villains. You know, they hatch their little plots and they work through their PCs. This guy was great. He designed uniforms for himself. He, if he needed money, one of the stories was he needed some money. He went into a bureau d'échange in Oxford Street, and he said to the woman, "I'm from Scotland Yard." She said, "But we've had this intelligence. Somebody's going to come in here and they're going to rob the place." Sorry, don't worry, we've got men everywhere. But just in case, I want you to put all the cash in a brown paper envelope, you know, and I'll look after it. I'll be outside." Got to, and she went, "Oh, okay." And that's what they did. This was a great villain. This is a man that we did a programme about and he went to prison. He came out of prison, straight back to it. We did another book. He went back to prison. He's just gone back to prison again. He was sentenced in December. So Richard Mark Sage, we did three programmes about a career villain, absolutely brilliant villain.
This week, we're back on the trail of a convicted con man called Richard Sage, whose activities we first exposed 12 years ago when he wasn't too pleased at our attentions.
Mr. Sage, I'm John Waite from Radio 4.
Would you like to leave the premises?
I'm here to record an interview with you, Mr. Sage, about your... Mr. Sage, please don't push me, Mr. Sage.
Why don't you have me for assault and I'll take you out the premises? Mr. Sage! I promise.
I want to talk.
I'm a friend.
Back in 1993, when he bounced me and my tape recorder down a flight of stairs, we revealed that Mr. Sage had been ripping off staff, customers and NHS hospitals to the tune of hundreds of thousands of pounds, something for which he was later convicted and sent to prison for 7 years. But since his release, we've discovered he's been causing problems again. High time, we thought, to bring the saga of Mr. Sage up to date. Mr. Sage swapped southeast London for northwest Scotland earlier this year, where he's currently running a funeral home in the resort of Dunoon on the Firth of Clyde, and where, when our repeated requests for answers went unheeded, we caught up with the burly businessman as he arrived in the car park for work. And, as I say, he wasn't too pleased.
Hello, Mr. Sage. John Waite from Radio 4.
Oh, what a surprise.
Yes.
Off for a start. Get out of my face, Nick. You know the score. You've always tried to wind me up every time you've come to see me.
I've said good morning to you, Mr. Sage, and you are now pressing me against a car, I think, and you've also sworn at me. I don't think I am the one.
John, it's those amazing clips. I know the automatic reaction is that you kind of laugh and stuff, but...
Well, we were taking the mickey. The clue there, if you listen to the script, the burly businessman, we were taking... The way to get to these people is to take the mickey out of them.
From the point of view of somebody who's confronting somebody,
yeah,
and they know they can see in somebody's eyes, this person's about to attack me, and then they do attack me. From a kind of presenter's point of view, how do you hang on to your role as presenter as opposed to a man who's being attacked?
Oh, well, you have to keep talking, don't you? It's the radio. and one of my proudest moments, I should have thought of this, actually. I was once hurled down some stairs by a dodgy solicitor in Luton. It was at the top of these stairs. There were wooden stairs. And as I rolled down them, I spoke about what was happening to me. I hit the door at the bottom. Door burst open. I rolled through it into the street. The acoustic was wonderful, you know. Echoey stairwell, wooden stairs, door open, street effects. I was so pleased with it. Because you were always, in the end, a professional, you know. So.
The circus has lost its broadcasting screen.
I've said many times.
Amazing. So please give it up for John Wayne, everybody.
That was John Waite. You also heard the events chair, Peter Curran. Thanks to Matt Taylor and the Radio Independence Group for sharing the audio with us. They have more masterclasses you can sign up to for free at rigtrain.co.uk. We'll be back with a new show next week. Until then, I've been Ollie Mann, the producer, Matt Hill. Thanks for listening and goodbye.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.